Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
This is really one of the great honors of my career to once again interview Jane Goodall. It's been a while. It's been more than 10 years since I've had the opportunity to interview this woman of peace, a soft-spoken woman who says a whole lot that we need to do, I think, a lot better at listening to. And I know that you're very passionate, Dr. Goodall, about a program called Roots and Shoots. So that's where I want to start. Tell me, first off, what that program is.
Okay, well, it's a program that started in 1991. It's actually almost be called a movement now. So it started with 12 high school students in Tanzania. It started because when I was traveling around the world, I was meeting so many young people, especially high school, university, who didn't seem to have much hope. And they were depressed, they were angry, or they were just apathetic. I asked them, you know, why are you like this? Well, you've compromised our future. There's nothing we can do about it. Well, we have compromised the future of our young people. And you hear, we haven't inherited this planet from our parents. We've borrowed it from our children, but we haven't borrowed their future. We've stolen. We're still stealing. But I don't agree it's too late to try and do something to heal some of the harm. So Roots and Shoots is a message that every individual matters and has some role to play, but more importantly, every single one of us makes some impact on the planet every single day, and we have a choice as to what sort of impact we're going to make. Every group of Roots and Shoots chooses themselves three projects, so it depends if they're rich, they're poor, they're in America, which part of America, in a city. If they're in Africa, if they're in China, they will have a different environment, different customs, different culture, different religion. They choose one project to help people, one to help animals, one to help the environment. And then they discuss, and then they roll up their sleeves and they take action.
And they actually do it. And this is not only in America, it's all over the world.
It's all over the world. It's been in as many as 100 countries, but sometimes, you know, it starts up and then the sort of life behind the program moves on or something, but there's still seeds planted, and we're in over 50 countries at this moment, but we've also got all what I call the alumni, those who've been through Roots and Shoots, and they keep their values. I mean, I meet them all the time, like in China. People will come up and say, but of course I care about the environment. I was in Roots and Shoots in primary school. So we've got about 2,000 groups across China.
Do you think that maybe children or young adults are more open to listening to ideas than people of a certain age?
Well, I think that young people today are rising to a challenge because, you know, they realize what's happening. They can't ignore climate change. It's everywhere. And they can't ignore what's actually happening, how forests are disappearing. They can't ignore about the plastic in the ocean, especially where they have access to television and just the internet. And so they understand what's happening, and they're beginning to understand we better get together and do something about it, or it will be too late.
Has the internet been a good thing or not? So you say have access to TV. I've been in parts of the world where people don't have access to TV, but they have their cell phones.
That's right.
And as long as they have electricity somewhere in the village, there's often one central place. Mm-hmm. You've seen these places. And they plug in their phones.
Yep.
But now they can go online and read about anything. Has that been a plus or not?
It's both. I mean, we all know about fake news, don't we?
I've heard that term.
I think for some of us, fake news means one thing, and for others, it means something else. But anyway, it's a way of linking people together and getting messages out. That's new in human history. of course it's being used for bad purposes. Everything always will be.
Yeah.
So the internet can be good or it can be bad, but it has helped us to, for example, having a march on one day for climate change to make governments try and listen. Greta from Sweden couldn't have done what she did, starting this, you know, marching around the world and one day off school and school strike. She couldn't have done that without the internet.
Absolutely right. How did a nice girl like you end up in a place like this? And here's what I mean by that. There you are in Gombe. You're a researcher chosen by Louis Leakey with two others, Diane Fossey and Birute Geldikas, to study great apes. A woman, no less. That in of itself at that time was outrageous, just thinking of a scientist who's a woman doing this. Now you're traveling around the world. You'll tell me how many countries. It's astounding, although I do want your frequent flyer miles as a result.
Can't have them. I need them.
You're changing the world. So how did you get from that place, which in of itself, I'd argue, pretty important, to doing what you're doing now?
Well, you know, it all began when I was 10 years old and fell in love with Tarzan and dreamed that I'd go to Africa, live with wild animals, and write books about them. I had no intention of being a scientist. Women weren't in those days. And everybody laughed at me except my mother, who said, if you really want this, you're going to have to work awfully hard, take advantage of every opportunity, but don't give up. So anyway, I got there, I met Louis Leakey, and he asked if I'd like to study the chimpanzees. So I was the first of what's been known as, I think, Leakey's angel system.
Yes.
So I was the first one he chose. He wanted, he thought women would make better observers, more patient. And he wanted somebody who hadn't been to college, because he wanted someone whose mind was uncluttered by the reductionism of the scientific thinking at that time.
Huh.
And so that's how I got to Gombe. And then why did I leave my dream world? I left because right here in Chicago, at a conference in 1986, by then there were six other chimpanzee study sites, and Dr. Paul Heltney, who was head of the Chicago Academy of Sciences then,
yes.
Great friend.
Yes.
And he said to me, Jane, let's do a conference. He wanted to do it, great apes. I said, don't the chimps, their closest relative, don't they deserve their own conference?
Was that with Birute and Johansson?
No.
That was different. Okay.
That was completely separate.
Okay.
That was totally separate.
Okay.
This was just me and Paul inviting chimp researchers to a four-day conference. And it was mostly to be about chimp behavior. But we had a session on conservation, shock, chimpanzees, numbers decreasing, forests going, chimpanzees' mothers shot to sell babies, and the beginning of the bushmeat trade, the commercial hunting of wild animals for food. In some African countries, chimps are eaten. Sometimes they're used for witchcraft.
And witchcraft?
Then, yeah, the parts give you strength. And
wow.
You know. But then we also had a session on conditions in some captive situations, like medical research, secretly filmed footage of our closest relatives in 5-foot by 5-foot cages. And so I went to that conference as a scientist, because I had a PhD by then, and I left as an activist.
Pets aren't like family. They are family. They really are. I mean, most people who have a pet say, well, my pet is a member of the family. When I say most people, according to the data I know about, it's well over 90% now of the people who have a pet say that. And I'm sure that's all of you. And that's why doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago are always there when your pets need them the most. They're located at the corner of Belmont, Western, and Clybourne. MedVet provides emergency specialty care and critical services 24/7 every day of the year. MedVet is a certified VECCS Level 1 Trauma Center, an American Animal Hospital Association accredited referral hospital. Lots and lots of letters that mean they're really good at what they do. And incidentally, they have specialists in gosh, I don't know how many, a dozen specialties? Neurology, dentistry, internal medicine. I mean, the list goes on and on. To learn more, you could check them out at medvetforpets.com or call MedVet Chicago, 773-281-7110. So does even Jane Goodall, Dr. Goodall, sometimes become pessimistic, think that we cannot do this, that we cannot heal the planet?
Well, I refuse to say that healing the planet is impossible.
Well, good, because that's it's good for our children and grandchildren and their children. But when you have world leaders like our current president saying, oh, but there is no problem to tackle, even, that it's a hoax. Not
Chinese,
my words.
Chinese hoax.
Yes, exactly.
But more recently, he said, you know, well, maybe there is something like climate change, but it's nothing to do with us.
So if the president of the United States was sitting next to you instead of me, what would you tell him?
I probably wouldn't be sitting here.
Well, what if he were?
Well, I would. I don't know. I mean, very few. I would sit next to almost anyone and think that they would listen, to think I could reach their heart. But I'm not sure with Donald Trump. I really don't know.
So that is something true about you as a speaker. I've seen you speak several times. Yes, you present facts. You present information. Going back to the earliest National Geographic specials to the last time I saw you speak, you do that. You somehow are able to get into all of us as individuals. It could be 500 people in the room. It doesn't matter. Or watching you on TV, and I hope, same in this video. You reach into people's hearts.
Yeah, by stories.
Is it
tell
the stories?
Yes, but you also have to get a feeling for the person.
How do you do that when you're speaking to 300 or 400 or 500 people? You don't know all of them.
Then I can't.
But you're able to do it.
Well, that's... They call it Jane magic.
It is Jane magic.
It's a gift I was given. And I think if you're given a gift, especially today when the world is a dark place, then you have to do your utmost to use that, develop it.
So do you think some people, perhaps our president, have such a closed heart?
I just don't know with him. Most people... You know, even unlikely people, I've managed to get to their heart. So maybe I could, but it doesn't seem likely. But maybe I could.
What do you think it is about him, his persona, that has appealed to so many Americans?
Same as why Brexit was voted in the UK, and I think the same as the yellow vests in France. There's whole sections of the general public that are being kept undereducated. They haven't had proper health services, and they've become angry. They want change.
There is a lot of anger, isn't there?
There's a lot of anger. And so people want change, and they don't always understand exactly what that change will mean. They just vote for change. So now we have Brexit on our hands in the UK, and, I mean, it's a disaster.
Yeah. I want to talk about the environment. There's the oceans you mentioned, and we've experienced it now where you're in the middle of the ocean, somewhere, anywhere, but in the middle of nowhere, and there comes along a plastic bottle floating, or we've actually seen it. I think we saw it in the Galapagos once. It was somewhere where it's exactly what you see now in these YouTube videos. It was a sea turtle. I don't remember the species, but it was a sea turtle with a six-pack, you know, on its fin. And it dived, and we couldn't even catch it. We would have. And again, thinking you're in the middle, there is no middle of nowhere anywhere.
No, there isn't.
Anymore.
No, there. I know a whole team found a place the furthest from land possible. And went there, and the beaches were covered in plastic.
What a great opportunity, a great thrill, a great privilege, really. It was to speak with Dr. Jane Goodall. We recorded this when she was in town a couple of weeks ago. There's more to the interview. You will hear that more to the interview in a couple of weeks. When I walked into the room, I was wearing a tie that my wife had purchased for me. We had actually had the opportunity. We've never been to Gombe in Tanzania, Africa, the place where she did her work on chimpanzees. But I did have the opportunity to go to Rwanda to see the mountain gorillas, which her colleague, Dr. Diane Fossey, you know, Gorillas in the Mist, she studied. And we purchased a tie that had little gorillas on it. And instantly, when Dr. Goodall walked into the room, she said, "Look," and she pointed to my tie, noticing I was wearing gorillas. She did not seem to mind the fact that they were not chimpanzees, but indeed gorillas. She was exceedingly observant, but then that is why Louis Leakey chose her all those years ago. She's 85 years old now, and she herself said, "I don't know how much time I'm going to have to continue to spread this message." She travels over 300 days a year to over 100 nations to try to spread the message that we can save our planet, but it needs saving. Something is happening. It's called climate change. And species are also disappearing. Our oceans are polluted with plastics and more than plastics. And we need to. Not that we should, we need to, for our own survival as a species. She believes this, and I believe her. We need to do something about it. And that's true whether you live in China, whether you live in Chile, whether you live in Canada, or whether you live in Cicero. It doesn't matter. We are all the same. We are all human beings. You know, she talks about how, yes, we have different cultures, different religions, but we have the same colored blood, and we live on the same home, the planet Earth. And if we don't do something more than we're doing today, and she's greatly, as you heard, relying on the next generation to do it, then we are going to all have a problem. And it's not only saving species because it's the right thing to do, which it is, but we're all interconnected. And she believes that. And as I said, I hear what she's saying, but I'm not sure that enough people do. I hope she wins the Nobel Peace Prize, and she might. And I hope she wins it because then her platform will elevate even more to really scream out the messages in her very soft but compelling voice that we need to hear. More of Dr. Jane Goodall in a couple of weeks on Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. Bark in the Park. That's an event coming up to support the Anti-Cruelty Society. It is May 18th. It begins at 9 a.m. It's at the Green at Soldier Field. That's right next to Soldier Field, 1410 Museum Campus Driveway is the address, but probably you know where Soldier Field is. It's the biggest event of the year for the Anti-Cruelty Society, and literally hundreds of dogs walk with their people along the lakefront. Take your phone because you'll get some beautiful photos of our skyline, but most of all, you're helping to raise money for homeless animals that are at the Anti-Cruelty Society and other programs that the Anti-Cruelty Society has as well, will be supported by you having a good time by walking along the lakefront. And they're going to have, I believe, beer. The beer tent opens at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. early for beer, but I'm not hollering about it. There will be live music there as well and lots of other activities for dogs. That, again, is the Anti-Cruelty Society Bark in the Park, May 18th. To learn more, anticruelty.org.